Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 2007. The topic is training, and the title is Tips to Increase Strength and Muscle Damage Safely in a Bodybuilding Program. Kind of long title, but I wanted to make sure we fully understand what we're getting into. I talked actually about this same client in yesterday's podcast, so podcast 2006. Personal trainer, super shredded all the time, wants to build mass. He's in a good moment in life. He got a new job as a personal training director, making a ton of money, and he has a total freedom of his schedule. He actually laughed and said that the gym is his girlfriend at the moment, so he's entirely focused and dedicated. He's 5'10", 165 pounds, has always been under 10% body fat, is super shredded all the time, always. That sounds amazing, but it's been very frustrating for him because he just can't seem to grow bigger. One of his friends is a client of mine, so he heard about me, and he saw in one of my social media posts that I have gained over 100 pounds of muscle tissue since graduating high school, which I did, and I actually talked about in a recent podcast number 2002. So he reached out and said, hey man, can you help me? And I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. So I'm going to be helping him with nutrition, like how to eat, increase calories more comfortably, how to eat more without being miserable. And we talked about that in yesterday's podcast. And then in today's podcast, I wanted to touch on some training aspects of his programming that can help increase muscle mass. Now, typically in bodybuilding programs, they should be designed very well for adding muscle tissue. But what will sometimes be a hindrance is it doesn't focus enough on increasing strength. This is something I struggled with earlier in my lifting career, which I didn't know this stuff. Like I was reading training magazines, like bodybuilding magazines. I think of Muscular Development, Men's Fitness, things like that. So I was reading all those magazines and I was seeing the workouts that the pros did. And I would see, okay, they did a sit chest workout. Maybe they did, barbell chest press, like four sets of 10. Then incline barbell press, four sets of 8. Then decline in like press, four sets of 6. Like it's actually typically higher reps on incline. So it'd be 4x10 on flat, 4x12 on incline, 4x8 on decline. Then they would do some type of chest fly. And then that would be their workout. Well, what I didn't understand at the time was they were already strong as hell. They were super freaking strong. So their flat bench for four sets of 10 was 405. Their incline bench for four sets of 12 was 365. And then the decline bench might have been back to 405 because they're already fatigued at that point. But maybe they were even doing more, like 425 or 445 or 455. And then they would do the flies and they were doing some like 100-pound dumbbells. So what I didn't understand at that time was my flat bench, when I first started lifting, I got pinned under 95 pounds. Yes, that is incredibly depressing to hear. It was more depressing to be in the situation, but that is where I started. So I started losing to 95 pounds. So when I was doing 4x10, it was like 65 pounds maybe, and it was absolutely not enough weight to cause muscle tissue damage without any doubts. And looking back at it now, I'm just so sad that I was killing myself, but I was doing things that weren't useful. Super bummer, very big, big bummer. But now I get to help people avoid those kind of mistakes. And it's not even a mistake. I didn't know. No one told me. So just being unaware, so I can help people be more aware. There you go. That's a better way of saying it. But what bodybuilding programs sometimes forget is to teach the person or train the person to be strong. A lot of bodybuilding programs just assume the person is strong enough already to move weight loads that will cause the muscle tissue damage that they want. But they don't. Like a lot of people need to get stronger first, or they need to get stronger along with the bodybuilding programming. So what I am doing with this trainer is adding muscle damaging and more strength based components into programming. They've been training like a bodybuilder forever, but they haven't been getting the results they wanted, and that was because although they are strong, they need to get stronger in order to increase the stimulus and damage that is produced by the workouts. They can't just work out more and more and more and more, because you do eventually just need heavier weights to cause the sheer force damage into the tissue. You can create muscle growth by doing metabolic damage, which would be another term of it, the pump. Getting a pump in the muscle that's so miserably painful and wants to split your skin apart that that'll force some muscle growth. But then you also have sheer force damage, which is just literally tearing the muscle apart with weights. And that's what he's going to need more of. So that's what we're focusing on. And what I wanted to share in today's podcast was how we're doing that in a safe way. I want him to get stronger. I want him to get bigger. But for the love of God, I do not want him to get hurt. No. Nobody gets hurt on my watch. That's the goal. So one of the things we're doing, and I'll get into some other tips too, but one of the main things I did was I started adding priming sets or strength-based sets into his training. There's a general structure I'm going to share in today's podcast for it, so that way that any listener can apply this. But when I do it for my clients, I'll literally write exactly what's best for them. So you'll see here in a second what I mean. But the idea of a priming set, some people call them feeding sets, like feeder sets. There's a lot of terms for them. I have my own version of doing it. So this is what I do, is you take 50% of the working set reps and you take that set to one rep shy of failure, and you're going to use more weight than you typically would for your normal working set. We're looking to stimulate strength, not force it. There's a big difference. So example, say the client can do dumbbell chest press. We're going to do three sets of 8 to 12 reps. And that would be our bodybuilding work. Three sets, 8 to 12. So the priming set is going to be a singular set, just one set, of 4 to 6 reps, so half the reps. So if the typical rep count is 8 to 12, we're going to do 4 to 6. And we're only going to do one working set. Now for this client, I am going to eventually start kind of building up the number of priming sets in their training. So that'll be increased as their joints and body kind of tolerates. But for you, the listener, just start with one and go from there. But what we look for is, if he can normally press 70-pound dumbbells for around 10 reps, on a good day, he might get 10 to 12. On a bad day, he can at least squeak out 8. But 70 pounds would be his typical weight that he would choose for dumbbell chest presses for three sets of 8 to 12. He knows he's going to be around 70 pounds. Well, what we're going to do is, before we get into those three sets of 8 to 12, we're going to do our priming set. So we're going to do one set of 4 to 6 reps. Now, we know if he normally does 70 pounds for 10, and we're now going for roughly half that, we're going to be able to add weight. He's going to at least be able to do the 75s, but probably the 80s, 85s, or even 90s. But we're going to do more than the 70 pounds. So in his typical training, he's only ever stimulated his muscles up to 70 pounds. So how do we push for more strength? That's the concept of these priming sets, is now he can pick up the 80s. And he's going to get a set of 4 to 6. But we're going to stop one rep short of like actual fatigue or actual failure. I want the last rep to look as perfect and clean as the first one did. But knowing, he would know, okay, if I did one more, it's probably going to be very grindy. I might have to tweak a little bit or move a little bit. The quality is just going to be a little lower. So I'm going to stop here. That's the idea. So we're going to work together to kind of learn what that feels like. But that's the premise, is he would do heavier than normal weight. So if his normal is 70 for 10, for that 8 to 12 range, 70 pounds, he's going to do heavier than that. He's going to pick up 75s or 80s. He's going to try one set, somewhere 4 to 6 reps, knowing he could have done one, maybe even two more reps. But now his muscles have officially felt something heavier than 70 pounds. That's the main purpose, is we're stimulating an increase. We're not forcing an increase. That is the mindset. You have to have that mindset in order to stay safe. But that's the idea. So week one, if it's kind of new for him, maybe he'll only try the 75s. He's going to get probably a set of 6 and be fine. Then week two, he's like, eh, maybe I'll try the 80s. Feels a little more comfortable. He might actually probably get another set of six. Then he's going to go to 85s. Maybe he only gets five reps this time. And like he's like, oh, I don't know. The six would have been kind of crappy. And then we're good. And then the next time we repeat that exercise, might be two or three programs later, maybe even four programs later, he'll know, okay, last time I was left off at 85s. Let me try that again just to solidify that this week one. Then maybe week two, I can go to 90s. Week three, I go to 90s, but maybe an extra rep or two. Week four, then you move up. It's just the idea is you make small, slight increases, either in adding a rep or adding 5 pounds. Whatever you can do, you just try to increase the performance. Maybe he can't add a rep or add 5 pounds, but maybe he can pause at the bottom of the chest press. Can he do a slower eccentric? Rather than a fast eccentric, rather than a 2-second eccentric, can you do a 3-second eccentric? Can you just in some way make it more miserable than it was last week? That's the idea. So that's what a priming set is. We're only going to be doing the priming sets on major movements of the workout. So not in our warm-ups. If we're doing like external rotation movements to warm up the shoulders, we're not going to be doing a priming set on those. And if we're doing some high rep finishing stuff, we're not going to do a priming set on that. So every once in a while, I'll have somebody do like a major high rep burnout of bicep curls or tricep extensions or lateral raises or something. We're not going to do a priming set before a really high rep set. The idea of the priming sets is it's before our basic heavy movements. So that would be like cable rows, lat pull downs, weighted pull ups, barbell rows, dumbbell chest presses, machine chest presses, leg press, squat, deadlift, all the big heavy, the big heavy basics. We're going to add the priming set on those. Now, typically, I would just add one priming set on the major movements of the workout. So there might only be like maybe two or three priming sets in an entire workout. But then all of a sudden, if that goes well, we might add a second priming set, but actually decrease the working sets. So rather than 3 sets of 8 to 12, maybe we do 2 priming sets and then only 2 sets of 8 to 12. Because we have to control the volume, the tissue damage, the joint damage. But you'd play around with that volume tolerance. You don't want to lose the sets of 8 to 12 completely and just do priming sets. Because now you're just strength training. So we don't want to turn bodybuilding into a 5x5 program. Now, can you get jacked off 5x5? Hell yeah. But it's not typical bodybuilding. And the idea is to not lose the aspect that this is a bodybuilding program with strength in it. This is not a strength-based programming that you're hoping will lead to bodybuilding. So powerlifters and like strength-based people are jacked. They tend not to have as well balanced in muscles and aesthetics as what a bodybuilder would want. And that's typically going to be due to the heaviness of the weights that they have to move all the time. They're going to have thickened obliques, thickened abdominal wall. Their structural support is going to be a lot thicker. So the muscle around joints, the muscle in the weak spots between muscles, they're all going to be kind of thick and developed. So they're not going to, even if they're lean, one of the great guys you can look at is Mariusz Pudzianowski from World's Strongest Man back in like the early 2000s, I believe. I could be getting that wrong. Maybe around like 2010-ish. I did, 2010, 2015, somewhere around there, probably 2010, somewhere in there. Mariusz Pudzianowski, you can look it up on the internet, on the interwebs, but he was super freaking lean and shredded as a World's Strongest Man, but he doesn't quite have the V taper, doesn't have the narrow of the midsection that a bodybuilder would have. So he's jacked. He's absolutely massive, super lean, but doesn't quite look like the bodybuilder. And that's going to be just due to they're lifting so heavy all of the time that a lot of the stabilization and structural support muscles are large and very well developed to the point where it kind of takes away from the aesthetics that you would see in bodybuilding type physiques. Okay. So that's going to be the main adjustment to his programming, and what I would encourage other people to try is to try those priming sets, those strength-based sets. They're really cool to try if you've never tried them before. And then 5 other tips, then I'm just going to go through these a little bit quicker, that I made from his other training, like the way he typically trained, is number one, If we're looking for an intensity technique, if we want to add something at the end of like our last working set that kind of pushes intensity extra, you may have heard of techniques such as drop sets. But we're going to be using the technique of a rest pause. A little bit of a difference here, but it's significant enough that it matters, is a drop set. You would take a weight to failure, and then in order to create more intensity, you would reduce weight and then try for more reps. So whatever the exercise is, maybe you did 80 pounds for 10, and then at 10 you're like, oh, my technique is crap. I'm going to, you know, that's the best I can do. Let me drop from 80 down to 60 or even 50 and crank out a couple more reps. It increases your volume, gives you a little bit extra stress. So that is an intensity, an intensifier, and that can help push the stimulus for muscle growth. What we want to do, since we want to develop strength, is we want to use rest pause, not drop sets. Rest pause would be, I do the 80s for 10, I rest the 80s, I'm going to count for 5 to 10 seconds, pick the 80s back up, and maybe I only get 2 or 3 reps, but I stayed at the same weight. Rest pause, you use the same weight for an extra bout of effort, whereas drop set, you reduce weight for an extra bout of effort. Typically with drop set, you're going to get more reps in the bout of effort, the extra bout of effort. With rest pause, you're going to get less reps in the extra bout of effort. There you go. But if our goal is strength increase, we'd rather have the sustained weight load rather than a couple extra reps. So we're going to be using rest pause rather than drop sets. He used a lot of drop sets in his training, so we're going to be switching that over. He also did a lot of circuits and supersets to the point where he would superset his main movement. So if he was doing dumbbell chest presses, he would superset that with something else, but that was causing a limit of how much weight he could move in the chest press just simply because he was a little more aerobically fatigued and his system was that much more depleted, meaning less glycogen, less resiliency. His adrenaline, his endorphins were being burned off and used up in other movements. So we're going to be using our main movement of the day as a singular event. Just don't superset anything with it. Set a timer, maybe take 3-minute rests. Stay focused, stay in the workout, but don't superset it. That'll allow you to just perform a little bit extra intensity on that main movement, maybe squeak out an extra rep or two, maybe squeak out 5 extra pounds, but it'll help push more of a strength load on those main movements. We're going to be doing a pre-exhaust cycling. This is a little more detailed, but pre-exhaust work is absolutely excellent for muscle growth. I mean, I love pre-exhaust for when I'm working with people to get like pro cards and aesthetic competitions. So it's one of my favorite techniques. I even use it for strength-based clients all the time. If you want to learn more about pre-exhaust, you can listen to podcast 1160. It's an old podcast. You might not be able to get there on the podcast player you're on. So you can go to our website, www.brutalirongym.com. On the homepage, you can scroll down a little bit. You'll see a podcast player that has the most recent 300 episodes. And then underneath there are instructions on how to find older podcasts, such as podcast 1160. So pre-exhaust is basically doing isolation movements before compound movements. Great for muscle growth, great for joint protection, but not really great for strength. Now, I use it for strength athletes in the off season and as a form of deloading, because we don't do deload weeks because I don't feel like wasting an entire week of my client's life every month. So I don't like traditional deload weeks. I really don't. I think they're a waste and they're unnecessary. They're useful when you're just writing general programs that people you don't know follow. But when you have one-on-one clients and you can actually know what they're doing, there's much better use of their time than a traditional deload. So I use pre-exhaust cycles as my forms of deloads. So that way we can make faster progress but still stay injury-free. And everyone loves it. So I really like that method. So pre-exhaust, we might pre-exhaust for 1 month as full normal pre-exhaust, where you take the isolation movement to full fatigue before you go to a compound movement. Think of chest flies before chest presses. Then we might do a month where it's a priming pre-exhaust rather than a maximal pre-exhaust. So they might just do two warm-ups and then one top-end intentional set, and then they move on, rather than three or four working sets. Then the third month, nothing. No pre-exhaust, go right to the big stuff, move some heavy shit, be a badass. So we'll cycle through stuff like that. And that really helps to protect the body, protect the joints, but still promote strength. One of the other reasons why I like it is the pre-exhaust can be related to a weakness of that major main lift. So you're slowly catching up the weakness. You're catching up the weakest link. So therefore, the main lift is actually going to get stronger and stronger and stronger by using pre-exhaust. So it's very helpful. Fourth tip we have, the fourth of the extras, is to choose more basic movements. If you're really trying to get stronger, don't do an entire workout of machines. Use some free weights. Use some big stuff. So you think about legs. If I want to come into the gym, if I wanted to and I had a well-equipped gym, I could do some adductor and abductor machines to warm up my hips. I could do maybe some heavy leg press, do some higher rep hack squats, and then go home. Or maybe throw in some extra leg curls or leg extensions at the end and then go home. You don't have to touch a barbell if you didn't want to. But if you're trying to get bigger, if you really want to get stronger, it's probably going to be helpful to use some machines. Use some more basic movements. So for example, because the last tip is free weights first, if I think about even just the machine choice, if I have the option to do, I know this isn't the machine, but hold with me for here for the concept, is if I have an option to do a Bulgarian split squat with one dumbbell hanging on the side that the leg is back on whatever you're using, a roller or a bench. But if you know a Bulgarian split squat and you're just using one dumbbell or a kettlebell, and you can do a set of 10 on that, and that's pretty hard, sure. Or you can do some barbell squats, like just back squats. You're going to need a lot more leg development and a lot more strength development from squats than you would from the Bulgarian split squat. Now, are Bulgarian split squats great? You freaking betcha. I use them all the time for clients, but I usually use them after we squatted. Or if I have a client who we need to keep their core and their midsection very tapered, we might not even do Bulgarian split squats, but we would avoid heavy loaded movements like barbell squats. I'll do that for some of my models. I have worked with models, by the way, which is fun. Or somebody who has a physique that it's very important that they keep a streamlined midsection. Like I've worked with Carolina Panthers cheerleader before, and people in situations where they want to be toned, they want to have good muscle development in their legs and their glutes, but they don't want any development in their core. So we would not choose free-weighted movements or heavily weighted movements. We would do almost all isolation and machines. But if we're looking at a bodybuilding program that somebody's struggling to get bigger, you're going to need to add in those basic compounds because they are going to help push that growth because they push weight load, and then that pushes muscle damage, which then pushes muscle growth. So that would be tip number four, is choose more basic movements. Tip number five is free weights first. So get in the squats before the leg press. Get in, you know, some dumbbell or a barbell bench before you do a machine bench press, chest press. The idea is free weights just help target more muscles. They annihilate the body, beat up the body a little bit better than machines do. So you're going to get more systemic stress and damage from free weights than you will from machines, on average, most of the time. So those are some great tips. The first tip was the priming sets. Then the five extra tips were to use rest pause rather than drop sets. Don't superset or circuit your main lift. Use pre-exhaust cycles. Choose more basic movements and put free weights first. So those are all tips that will help you increase strength and muscle damage, but do so safely in a bodybuilding focused program. Awesome. If you have any questions, if you need anything, reach out. We have free programming examples on our website, www.brittleirongym.com. You can go to the live monthly programming page. That service is back. So I did it for a while. Now I'm actually bringing it back. Is we have a free full 1 month example of bodybuilding. That bodybuilding program does have various elements in it. It doesn't have necessarily these exact elements. This is stuff from a personalized one-on-one clients program. When I do programming for the live monthly programming service, it's for the general population, anybody who might be going for bodybuilding. So I'll have less intensive aspects because you want to push everybody a little bit, but you don't want to push the weaker people of the group too hard. So that programming is more like kind of down the middle, but still aggressive and progressive. Whereas one-on-one clients, I'll write everything literally exactly as they need and whatever pushes them to the best of their abilities. Okay, but that's all on the website. If you need anything, just go to the website and you can always send me a message on the bottom of the homepage with any questions you have. We have all of our services, so if you want any one-on-one coaching, if you need anything like that, check out the one-on-one services page and shoot me a message if you want to sign up or ask any additional questions. Awesome. If you like the podcast, make sure you share the podcast. The more people we share it with, the more people can help. If you like the podcast and you want to consider donating to support the podcast financially to cover the yearly hosting costs and whatnot, I greatly appreciate that. The people who do support it, you cover a good portion, and I am very, very, very grateful for that. So thank you very much. And then if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube. So if you check us out on Instagram, follow us. If you check us out on YouTube, subscribe. Please build up the following of those pages so that way people kind of have that social proof that the information is good. And then hopefully more people will check it out and be able to be helped by the information that is presented. Awesome. As always, I hope this was helpful. And thank you for listening.